Well, I really miss college football. This time of year, I'm usually watching the Gophers, Penn State, and the Cornhuskers. Those are my three teams. I figure someone has to win on any given weekend. I remember some weekends when all three won last year. So let me start today. We're starting a new series called Courageous. Let me tell you the story about the most, perhaps the most, courageous college football team in history. It was the University of Suwanee, the Tigers football team of 1899. They were undefeated that year. 21 players from this small rural Tennessee college, weighing on average 169 pounds. In those days, touchdowns were 5 points, field goals were 4 points. Football was just as physical as it is now, maybe more. And the rules were, if you were injured and had to step out of the game, you couldn't come back and play. So they usually stayed in because they didn't want to sit on the bench. Scheduling was difficult for the Tigers team because they were in such a rural area. So the AD, the athletic director, had an idea. He would plan a road trip. He would have the team play 5 games in 6 days, traveling 2,500 miles, playing the most powerful college teams in the country. How does that sound? They traveled by train most of the way, and they had to bring their own water because the coach didn't want the guys to get sick. Because the water changes from state to state. So the first game was against Texas. They won 12-0. The next day, they traveled by horse and wagon with very little sleep, and they beat Texas A&M 32-0. After another long ride by wagon, the Suwanee team played its third consecutive game in 3 days against Tulane and won 23-0. The fourth day was Sunday, so the team took time for rest and for church. There were several theology majors on the team, so you have to keep the Sabbath, as most people did then. The next day, they beat undefeated LSU 34-0. Then on the sixth and final, last day of the road trip, they beat Ole Miss 12-0. 5 games, 6 days, 2,500 miles. They scored 91 points on their opponents, and their opponents scored zero on them. This is why they were called the Iron Men of Tennessee. Have you heard of them? Who could do that today? That would never happen today. Well, when we think of courageous people, who do you think of? I think of the many heroes in the scriptures, many heroes in the history of the church. They come in all shapes and sizes, young and old, men and women, Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, the powerful and the defenseless. What we're going to learn is that courageous saints have one thing in common. The key seems to be they know one thing, that God is with them. And that's what inspires them to great courage. So today I want to look at the courage of Jesus. I don't know how often we think of his courage, but let's look at Jesus Christ in the hour of his greatest test, in his last hours, as he was there before the trial, before the Jewish leaders, and before the trial of Pontius Pilate. Let's compare and contrast his courage with the cowardice of the governor at the time, Pilate. Perhaps Pilate is the most well-known Roman in the whole world. Everybody knows Pontius Pilate, but what do we know him for? Probably for his cowardice. So the title today is The Governor Meets Jesus. And we're going to look in John chapter 18. The priests have already put Jesus under trial. And in the Gospel of Luke, they've brought 3 charges against Jesus. They said Jesus claimed to be a king. Second, Jesus caused riots. That's just so funny because the priests were the ones causing the riot that day. And they said Jesus didn't like to pay taxes. So they dragged Jesus to before the governor, and the governor would hear the case. So let's begin in John 18, verse 33, and I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard translation today. Therefore, Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore, Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." And Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." I love that. "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate says to him, "What is truth?" Father, thank you for this word, this study. We thank you for the courageous Savior we have, Jesus Christ, who did everything to bring us salvation. Teach us, Lord. Fill us. Thank you for these words, inspired, inerrant, delivered to us to build us up and train us and equip us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the first thing we can learn about courage here is I think courage demands clarity. Courage demands clarity. What is going on in this scene? Now, Pilate is the governor. He's responsible to hear the charges brought against Jesus and to do justice. That's his role. So he hears from the prosecution, and immediately he sees two problems. First, they are filled with envy. He can see right through these scribes that they are so envious of Jesus. So the other Gospels, all three of the other Gospels mention the envy of those of the Sanhedrin. And then he notices another thing. No one is defending Jesus, not even Jesus. Jesus isn't defending Jesus. So Pilate takes Jesus back into his chambers, and he talks to him privately. That's the right thing to do. Find out what's going on. Get some clarity. Don't just listen to the people who are shouting and claiming this and that. Find out for yourself what is going on. It takes courage to find the truth. That was true then, it's true now. So Pilate asks him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "Do you really want to know? Or are you just repeating what everybody else is saying?" And Pilate gets a little testy here. He says, "Look, I'm not the one on trial. You're on trial. What did you do?" And Jesus answers him. He knows that Pilate wants to know. And like anyone who's seeking God, if you seek God truly and honestly, you will find him. But if you come to him just to toy with him and just to play around and just to find out things, he won't reveal himself to you. So Jesus is going to tell Pilate who he is. He says, "My kingdom, my kingship, they're not of this world." And he says, "I came to testify to the truth, not to commit treason. I don't want Caesar's job. I'm not here for an earthly kingdom." And so it takes courage to pursue the truth. Now here's Pilate. He's standing 6 inches from the way, the truth, and the life. And he asks Jesus, "What is the truth?" To me, that's just very sad. I mean, there's the truth right there. And he says, what is the truth? He seems to give up on his pursuit of truth, as we can sometimes give up on the pursuit of truth when things get so confusing. And fear takes over. See, he's afraid. And a leader cannot be afraid, because you can't get to the truth when you are so afraid. It takes courage to pursue the truth. So this is the first step of his cowardice, putting politics and envy over the pursuit of truth. That was his first mistake. Courage demands clarity. Think about it. How can justice be done without knowing the truth? How can justice be done without knowing the truth? And this is the trouble with society. We're trying to do justice without truth. Courage demands clarity. Let's read on. Verse 38, second half of verse 38. And when he had said this, what is truth, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no guilt in him. Now that sounds like a verdict. Doesn't that not sound like a verdict? I find no guilt in him. What's the next word? But. That's the mistake right there. I find no guilt in him. But. You see the problem? You have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you wish? What's that have to do with justice? What they wish? Do you wish then that I release for you the King of the Jews? So they cried out again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Pilate then took Jesus. Well, Pilate doesn't want to release Barabbas. He was an insurrectionist. He was an enemy of Rome. He can't let him go. But that's who they want. So instead he has Jesus scourged. You know that scourging, 40 lashes with that leather whip that had bones and lead in it, beating a person right to the point of death, tearing all the skin off of his back in an attempt to try to appease this crowd. And then the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put a purple robe on him. They began to come up to him and say, hail the King of the Jews, and give him slaps on the face. And Pilate came out again and said to them, behold, I'm bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him. Cowardice. The second point is courage acts decisively. Once you know the truth, act decisively. It was Aristotle years ago said, if you want to have courage, you have to do courageous things. It isn't just handed to you. Pilate says twice, I find no guilt in him. If Pilate had an ounce of courage, he would act decisively, do justice, release Jesus immediately. Just send everybody home. But he doesn't. He still engages. He tries to appease this crowd, this mob. He said the word, but. He didn't have to do that. What does he do? He asks the prosecution what they should do. Who should he release? He doesn't have to do that. He knows. And like every mob, they want the guilty released and the innocent punished. Mobs do that. They want the innocent punished and the guilty released. So he flogs Jesus. He can't satisfy the mob. All that blood just makes them thirst for more blood. And the cowardice of Pilate continues. First, he doesn't pursue clarity in the truth, and then he doesn't act decisively, and because of his lack of courage, the crowd will now turn on him and his authority. Let's read on. John 19, verse 6. So when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify, crucify, Pilate said to them, take him yourself and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him. It's not my problem. And the Jews answered him, we have a law, and by that law he ought to die because he made himself out to be the Son of God. Now this is new information here. And therefore, when Pilate heard this Son of God, he was even more afraid. And he entered into the praetorium again and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave no answer. So Pilate said to him, You do not speak to me? Do you not know I have authority to release you? And I have authority to crucify you. Why didn't he release him then? Jesus answered, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin. He's talking about the chief priests. What's the third lesson here? Courage recognizes authority. Courage recognizes authority. Pilate is losing patience. He's full of fear now. His courage is gone. And for the third time, he says, I find no guilt in him, but he's not acting and no one is listening to him. And here's the lesson. When a leader does not have clarity and when he's not decisive, he loses his moral authority. No one will follow that person. But look at Jesus. He's standing there, beaten to the point of death, and he says to Pilate, you have no authority over me unless it was not given to you from above. Jesus knows who is in charge of this scene. And that's why he is courageous, because he knows who is in charge. That's the key to courage. Pilate's been reduced to a pawn of the mob, and of course we know he's a pawn of God's providence, because this was the plan, that Christ would go to the cross. Courage recognizes authority. It exercises authority. It always remains under authority. Lawlessness is for cowards. Lawlessness is for cowards. There's nothing courageous about it. So let's read on one more section here, John 19, verse 12. As a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release him. Now he's going to try to do what's... It's too late. He's let this go on too long. He still tries to release him, but the Jews cried out saying, if you release this man, you're no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar. Therefore, when Pilate heard these words, well, it was checkmate. He brought Jesus out. He sat him down on the judgment seat at the pavement, a place called the pavement in Hebrew, Golgotha. Now, it was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. It's about noon on Friday. And he said to the Jews, behold your king. Still probably hoping they're going to let him go. So they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Shocking, isn't it? The chief priests said that. So he handed him over to them to be crucified. The other gospels say he tried to wash his hands of the whole thing. What's the fourth lesson? Courage stands up to the crowd. Courage stands up to the crowd. Pilate wants to release Jesus. He knows he has to, but the crowd will not release Pilate. He's the one trapped now. It's a brilliant political move, we can say, perhaps by Caiaphas himself, backing Pilate into the corner, saying, if you let Jesus go now, you are agreeing he is king. And you will be canceled. You will be canceled if you do that. You'll be kicked out of the club of Tiberius. What happens to rulers who are kicked out by Tiberius? Exile or forced suicide? So it's either his neck or Jesus' neck. And we know how he chose. He chose to save his own political neck. True courage must stand up to the crowd. That's true all the time, even personally. We've all had a bully in our life now and then. I read a book by Tim Kimmel, pastor, psychologist. The book was called Strong-Willed People. And in it he said, you have to stand up to bullies. And he said, if you do, they will either leave you alone or they'll learn to respect you. You might take a little beating, but then they'll leave you alone. And they might learn to respect you.
Amen.
What's the conclusion? Courage demands clarity. Courage acts decisively. There's no courage without truth and without action. Courage is what is needed when virtue is being tested. Name whatever virtue, whatever character quality you want to develop in your life. When that is tested personally, that is when courage is needed so that you can continue to be virtuous people. And you can see how Pilate folded. He lost courage. Injustice was done. He had no fortitude. Fortitude is what you need when you need courage to do what is virtuous and not to shrink back. Courage recognizes authority. Courage is always related to virtue, never lawlessness. If anyone breaks the law, does what's illegal or wrong, that's not courage. That's just being dumb. Courage always relates to virtue, seeing virtuous things being done. And then courage stands up to the crowd. Well, I found a C.S. Lewis quote. I want to share it as we close. He said in Screwtape Letters, courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at the testing point, which means at the point of highest reality, a chastity or honesty or mercy which yields to danger will be chaste or honest or merciful only on conditions. Pilate was merciful till it became risky. Is that courage? Well, if the conditions are right, if no one is against me, I'll do something. That's not courage. That's just going along with the flow. Think of the courage of Jesus. He was tested and tempted in every way possible, yet he did not fail. He did not sin in word, deed, or attitude. In his earthly road trip, he took on the world, the flesh, and the devil. And he was undefeated. Undefeated. Don't forget that. He finished his divine mission. He endured to the end. He went to the cross. He rose from the dead to bring us home. Jesus is courage in flesh. And it's good to be reminded of the courage of Christ to build us up in our day, that following Christ will take courage. You can't have the one without the other. Let's pray. Now, Father, I know it's not Easter. I know it's not Good Friday, but I want to just thank you for Jesus, that we can review his courage and that we can compare that with this governor named Pontius Pilate. Lord, I pray we would be men and women, boys and girls of courage, that we would stand on the truth, that we would fight for the truth, and we would do what's right wherever we have occasion this week as we leave from here. To have Christ is to have courage, and I pray you would fill the body of Living Rock with courage to stay on mission in these days. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.